From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Well, it's a crazy couple of days around Chiefs Kingdom. Not something that we usually have to get into this time of year, but welcome back to the show. We're glad you guys could join us. We have a lot to talk about today, and we're going to go over a number of things that are going on, have been accomplished already, what maybe remains to be accomplished. And we're going to go into depth on a couple of possibilities, one that I'm sure you guys are dying to hear about. So thanks for being with us today. Make sure you rate and review and subscribe and tell your friends. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics. And we're the analysts here, both at Rogue APC and LockedOnChiefs.com and Chiefs Digest as well.
And I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Thank you for joining us. Like you said, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. Really appreciate that. I read them all the time. And we will get back to reading those on air probably when things slow down, which is hopefully going to be next week.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed, right?
Kind of fun.
Yeah, right. Folks, we're recording this late because scheduling is kind of difficult on a Thursday night for us usually. And most of the time we can get around that, but things have just been happening too fast. A couple of details came out late tonight. I want to tell you about those. DeAnthony Thomas is back for what is now a very popular number at $790,000 for a salary with a $90,000 signing bonus. This is like rock bottom what you can get a vet for on a second contract. Clearly, he wanted to return, and clearly the Chiefs are going to give him enough leeway. They like what he does in terms of bringing a little spark to the team to really work through what's a big rehab.
And he turned down more money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Rap Sheet reported, wants to be back.
Yeah, Rap Sheet reported he turned down $1.5 million elsewhere. So, you know, maybe that was on a 2-year deal. I don't know. But he obviously wants to be in Kansas City, so that's a good sign for that. And you would think he's going to make the team because he's probably going to end up being the returner again. His usefulness in this offense is something that we could question, though.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do come back to – you know, a couple of times a year when they need a spark, they get him something on a low crosser or a route out of the backfield. And, you know, and he scored a few times. Yep. I think his plays are few and far between. But when they need him, he seems to be able to pull something out. I mean, he's still quick and he's still fast. We'll see what happens with this leg injury.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not useful. I'm just saying that his usefulness is questionable at best at this point in his career, in my opinion. Although Pat Mahomes is certainly going to change things for Kansas City's offense and how they do things moving forward. So we'll see how that changes things.
That's for sure. I mean, five verts, is that what we're looking at here?
Well, I mean, you could, but you know, you also have the ability. He's got the accuracy to do a lot of things underneath as well, which I think opens up a lot for the entire team. So I
agree. I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward to two things: the fade into the corner to Watkins and Conley, and for the love of God, red zone slants. They've been unwilling to run them, or Alex has been unwilling to pull the trigger on them, and I don't think we're having any problem with that with Pat.
Maybe not, but I will.
I'm sorry, Patrick.
Well, he said he doesn't care, Pat or Patrick, in his press conference, which is kind of funny. But, you know, it's curious to say the least to all the different things that have happened and all the different signs they've had. You're talking about Watkins and Hill. But why don't we go ahead and touch on a question that we had real quick?
Yeah, I mean, a fan favorite, a guy that's been here easily upon his return. He is the oldest tenured Chief again, was even with Derek Johnson. Punter Colquitt is back in the fold. He's going to make just over $1 million this first base salary in 18, a very modest salary for what he's coming off of. And it looks like 2.45 in 19 and then back to 1.95 in 20. So it looks like, you know, if they want to move on again or if he decides to retire, it's looking like it might be 2020.
Not at all what I was referring to, but that's okay.
Oh, well.
Well, we were talking about wide receivers, and there was a question about wide receivers that I thought – would fit in right there.
Oh, sure. But
talking about Dustin Colquitt, I am really glad they brought him back. I think that this is a reasonable salary for him and his skill right now in his value to the Chiefs. So I do like that they were able to bring him back for what they brought him back for.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing all around. You'd get that question. I'm trying to pull it up right now, so I'll give credit to the person.
Real quick, though, he is only the second person over 30 on the roster.
Wow. I mean, that's saying
Zombo something. Is the only other person over 30 on the roster. The average age.
Sorry, Frank.
The average age of the roster is 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit crazy.
All your playmakers on offense, sorry to interrupt, but almost all your playmakers on offense are young. Travis Kelce's the only one that's, what, 28, almost 29?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he's kind of yes, he's advanced a few more years, but he's young for that age in terms of his experience in the league. Not only did he get drafted, I think he was 23 when he was drafted, if I remember correctly. But he also, you know, sat out a year with an injury. So, I mean, for a guy that age, he doesn't have as many miles as you would expect.
Yeah, as long as he's taking care of his body, which he appears to have been.
Yeah, stop doing, you know, chick shows and that kind of thing. You'll be fine.
Everybody wants to be loved.
So, hey, why don't we come back here in a minute and we'll talk about the receivers. So I want to give credit. Gibby _58, a longtime listener, gave us this question. And it's something that I touched on that Andy Reid confirmed today. I said when they brought in Watkins that because of the complexity of the offense, that Watkins is going to play the X. You would like everybody to be interchangeable. And I think that's kind of where they're going down the line. But Andy Reid confirmed on Thursday's press conference that he's going to primarily play the X in 2018. And they'll move on from there. That means that Chris Conley and Tyreek Hill are going to move around in both the slot and the Z. Andy also confirmed that Tyreek will primarily be the Z. And so here's the big thing. And it'll make complete sense when you think about who these players are. Your Z is kind of a movement guy, generally based on quickness. You want them to be good route runners. And if they have long speed, that's good, but it's not necessarily the biggest requirement. You know, Jeremy Maclin played the Z, and while he's got good speed, he's not a deep threat. You want your X to be a guy that can line up in the same place every play on the line of scrimmage and beat man coverage. You want him to be able to be generally a bigger guy, the taller receivers, somebody that can hand fight a little bit better, can beat the press, and can still get long on you. So what do you think about it in Philadelphia? Who comes to mind that ran their X a lot?
Maclin. No, I'm sorry. This year?
No. Back in Philly, the biggest one, you know, you let Terrell Owens go run that because he had the size and the speed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you were going back to Reed era, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah, no worries. But same concept.
Going back that far.
Sammy's got the speed and he's got the size. He's proven that he can get off of the press. So you let him line up on the line of scrimmage where he might have a guy 6 inches from his face all the time. You let Tyreek be off the line of scrimmage a little bit so that he can't get jammed as easily. And can get lateral releases because you know he can accelerate out of those and he's going to be just fine. The interesting thing for me is with Chris Conley, you know, he doesn't accelerate as fast as Tyreek, but he's got the same long speed, or at least prior to the Achilles injury, same long speed as Sammy and not quite as Tyreek, but still pretty dang fast. So he can get deep on you too. And if he's off of the line as well, you know, they're going to be able to move that around, and he's going to get some free releases too. And I think that's going to help him be a target underneath on low crossers. I mean, when you think about the things that Albert Wilson did well in 2017, when you get fast and tall and strong Chris Conley doing those kind of things, I mean, it makes these under routes, these crossing routes and the slants inside things that you can get 5 yards on a quick pass and not have to get somebody completely loose and let them get some yak to try and get first downs.
Well, you have, and the biggest difference is you didn't have a guy like Watkins in 17. So Conley had to play outside. He can't play inside because there isn't somebody to take that role on the outside. He did play inside on a couple of plays, but it wasn't his normal area.
Right.
Now they have the ability to use that.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be something that's going to be very fun to watch moving forward, because I think Conley and Hill moving around, and I think Watkins will move around a little bit too, maybe not near as much as the other two, but it's still going to be fun to see.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and as it goes on, the reason Chris Conley can do that and the reason he can switch with Tyreek is because Conley knows the offense in and out now. Tyreek's come a long way. I wouldn't say he's up exactly with Conley, but he's got the bulk of the offense down. Watkins will get there too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is with Watkins not having the bulk of the offense down, it makes more sense for him not to have to learn as much.
Mm-hmm. And it lets him use his physical tools without taxing him mentally every rep, so that he can still be productive right out of the gate. And I think that he will be, clearly, and we'll talk about this in a second when we talk about the changes. I think eventually when he does learn that and you can interchange those guys, I mean, if Chris Conley puts up 600 or 700 yards, like you would have expected him last year had he not gotten injured, I can see them bringing him back. And if not, you have DeMarcus Robinson and you're going to have some other options, but you know, you don't have to have a 1,000-yard receiver on this team. But if you have those three and they're productive at 7 or 8 a piece, man, that's something that you can keep that trio going for a long time.
Well, and somebody asked me that. What do I think the stats are going to be for Watkins and Hill and Mahomes and Kelsey? And I said, you know, I think Mahomes is going to be around 3,900 yards. And they were asking yardage specifically. I said Mahomes probably around 3,900 yards. Tyreek around 950. Watkins probably around 900. Kelsey around 1050. That's just where I see it shaking out. I don't know that – I do think that it's possible that Watkins is going to steal some of Hill's yardage. But I think that makes your offense better.
Right. It's just more options. So, it's more ways to hurt. Yep. So I think it's going to be a thing that's going to get better as it goes on. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, absolutely. It makes them a lot more difficult to defend. And then you throw in two different types of running backs in Hunt and Ware. And, I mean, they have a little bit of the same skill sets in some areas, but they're so different in the way they run in others. So it really opens things up on offense.
Yeah, I like that they can both be physical. But like you said, they run in different ways. And I know I'm going to say it again. I know people are giving us static for all this Sherman talk. But here's the thing. With this passing attack, you have an opportunity, and clearly their philosophy, and we're going to talk more about the philosophy next week, but clearly this offense is being built to score points. You're going to use the passing game to get out to leads, and then you're going to be able to grind. And that's going to be the formula. And having both those backs who can run for power, as well as a fullback that you might be able to use more with Eric Bieniemy having more influence in the offense and having a lead more often, I think that can be something that can be really powerful.
Absolutely. And so we haven't even talked about the defense yet. Let's come back.
Yeah, let's go over that. But let's start with what happened today, and we'll get into it with Rich and Hitchens. Sorry. Yeah, let's switch gears here in just a second. So the press conferences were held. What was your impression? Did you get to see the conference from Watkins and Hitchens?
I did not. Okay. I did see lots of different quotes. It looks like Hitchens is a guy that is going to like being in the Midwest. He went to Iowa, likes being in the Midwest. So that is a very good sign for Kansas City moving forward. It's a guy that wants to be here. And it also sounds like he loves football. So that's also a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. On Watkins, and I want to come back to Hitchens because I want to talk about him in a little different way. But Watkins was clearly enticed to this team by a couple of factors, and that is playing for a coach of Andy Reid's stature and having a quarterback that can throw the ball deep. He made a couple of comments during his press conference to that fact, Talked a lot about his experience when the Bills played here a couple seasons ago with the fans and how loud the stadium was, and that made an impression on him. It was clearly one of his first choices. The Chiefs knew that they wanted him. It was kind of a match made in heaven, evidently.
Well, yeah, and they tried to trade for him last year.
Right, yeah. This is the culmination of a year's worth of work. Brett Veach had him targeted last season when he was still in Buffalo, trying to get him on this roster to give them that extra deep threat. So, perseverance on Veach's part to know what he wants and to go get it. Maybe it took him a while, but he got there. And the same thing was true of Hitchens.
Yeah, and, they said that Watkins was always the number one free agent on their board. And like you said, Veach specifically stated that, he tried to go get him last year. He offered the Bills the third. He was even candid enough to tell you what he offered. That's something that we're not used to. So it's going to be intriguing to watch Veach move forward when you're talking about the draft and getting players, because it's obvious he's going to be aggressive and he's going to be upfront about what he does, which is great.
And, Hitchens made some comments that he knew this was an option or that he had interest in the Chiefs right after the season. And he made specific remarks about knowing the quality of the players that are on this roster because he had to defend against them last season. And he made the comment that we knew we couldn't play man against them because they're just too good athletes. Well, and now they've added Watkins on top.
Well, and he also said that he was the last guy that Tyreek Hill juked.
Yeah, and I have to go back and watch the play now because I want to know. But, just on a side note, before we go a little farther into Hitchens and the defense, I thought it was great that when you saw the two new players take those photos that they take in Veach's office, and they had their families with them.
Yep.
And I thought that was a nice touch. And when you're talking about trying to entice players to this roster, and you've heard Eric Berry say it, and you've heard Justin Houston say it, they refer to this roster as a family quite often. And I think the organization taking that extra step and including the family and some of those things that you never see anybody else but the player in them, I thought that was a nice touch.
No, absolutely it is. And, Kansas City is going to be making more moves. There's more moves that are being talked about right now and being hinted at right now. So we will see if those happen. But you're right. It is very good to see the players have their families involved. It's obvious that Watkins was very happy to come here. He brought his entire family. That's something that's – you're right. I don't think I see that in many other teams.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that's a good-looking family. And as soon as that baby grows up a little bit, they're all going to have a full head of hair. Good Lord.
And somebody's jealous.
Yeah, right? Yeah, hey, when you get this age, that's all right.
Yeah.
On Hitchens, Brett Veach had a couple of comments about it started in reference to him knowing that he plays with aggression. Aggression was a theme of the day, and that Hitchens made an impression on them early. He did play three downs for the Cowboys. I think he can play three downs for the most part in this defense, especially if they tweak it and they don't try to ask their inside linebackers to cover backs and tight ends in man. I think that's his only weakness. And I don't think it's terrible. Veach is clearly high on his performance. And the thing that Veach credited him with is being part of his plan to change the mindset of this defense. And that tells me some things, that edge and that aggression and that alpha competitiveness as a defense wasn't there in 2017. It was certainly there in a few players.
Yep. And that is something that you definitely need to have as a defense. You cannot be passive. And I think in too many situations that there were situations where they were passive, but it's been talked about a little bit, and I think it's a very interesting subject. And I don't want to go too deep into this, but you look at getting rid of Marcus Peters, and yes, Peters is a great corner. Yes, he's a great player, but he changed their defense. He changed the way they did other things on defense, and that's going to change this year. You're not going to have a guy that is going to be playing off man. You're going to have press corners. You're going to have what we've been asking for the last 3 years. And without coming out and saying it was specifically Marcus Peters, they kind of hinted at the fact that when you have a guy like him that does what he does, that's kind of how you have to play.
That's true. And, you know, and Torres had a couple of things about it too, that people had made comments about, you know, that he wanted to play off because that allowed him to make his plays on the ball. And that's what he did at Washington, and it certainly makes sense, but that may not be what they wanted to do, because what the second comment, and this is the concern, that Torres had a quote from David Amerson saying that they told him to be prepared to play 90% press. That is a big departure from what Bob Sutton called last season. And even seasons before, they've played man a lot in years past, but they have not pressed that much. It's been a thing, like you said, we've been harping on for years to play press and get your hands on them. Unfortunately, Amerson's not the best at that. That's probably his weakest point in his game to his career this far.
Well, and that may be true, but there's also going to be time, and he's got a great coach, and I think Al Harris and Emmett Thomas. So we will see how that turns out for Kansas City. But like I said before, I really do think that we're going to see a different Chiefs defense on the back end, just because you're not going to have a guy that's wanting to go play off man, which changes the schemes you can run around it. So, and that was talked about. You're right. Torres said something else about they were not able to run specific defenses or move Marcus around because it changes the defense. So that's why Marcus didn't travel with the best wide receiver, which it, when you sit there and you think about it, it makes sense.
Certainly does. And it, the other thing that is going to come of that is that they still need to make some upgrades. I said early when Amerson was first brought over here that I'm not sure he can make this defense because of the man's skills. Clearly they think he can, and hopefully I'm absolutely wrong, and he's got skills that I haven't seen yet. But he's not the only piece to this. I think they definitely go draft a corner, maybe two. And the thing that's being talked about right now is the safety position. A lot of rumor swirling around Tyrann Mathieu, who's been let go from the Arizona Cardinals. And the problem is we have conflicting reports. Trez put out a tweet Thursday night that, as far as he knows from a source with information, that they hadn't reached out to him. Ben Albright, who has been, you know, I shouldn't defend Ben Albright because I don't have to. His record speaks for itself, and so does Torres's. And that's why I bring this up, is Ben has heard that they have contacted him. So these two guys don't go out on limbs. They're both usually right, and they both usually agree.
And Torres, and Ben even came out and said that he's not going to go out and spread false information because of his reputation. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you guys don't know who Ben Albright is, go follow him on Twitter, Albright NFL. Getting close to 40,000 or 50,000 followers now. It's blown up quite a bit in the past couple of years. And the reason it's blown up is because his information is generally right on.
And he has some experience and he has some ties to the Chiefs organization. So there are a few teams in particular that he has a little bit more insight to, and the Chiefs are one of them. So you can find him in my timeline. I'm sure I've retweeted him through this whole process a couple of times. So that's the interesting thing. Mathieu's a guy that, and we've had a lot of debate over this. He played an up safety and predominantly nickel corner for the Arizona Cardinals. Heck of an athlete. Not a guy that can take a pounding. I don't like him as a box safety against the run. I think in a perfect world, you have a free safety deep, and we'll talk about that in a second. You have Eric Berry doing his middle tier, sometimes in the box, sometimes out in coverage kind of thing, where he's best at his acceleration, both backward and forward. And then you have Tyrann in there, like somewhere between a floating third safety, not a nickel safety, not in the box like Sorensen, but somewhere between a nickel corner and a guy out there in space jumping routes and that kind of thing. That's what I like for him.
Well, he'd be a very intriguing fit for Kansas City. It'd be exciting to see him in a Kansas City uniform. And I think if they were to be able to go out and get a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, obviously he fits in that mold of getting younger and faster. He's 25. He gives them the opportunity to really move on to the defensive line in the draft and focus on that.
Yes. There is one other area that needs to be filled, and he could play a little bit of free safety. I know he's done it some. He has the speed to do it. I think he's better with his hands on receivers, and that's why I say I think he's best at nickel corner. But the Chiefs need a free safety. Despite what some of my followers seem to think that Eric Berry's best spot is at free safety, that's wrong. Eric is best at converging in that middle ground, playing up and playing back. The Chiefs need a true free safety center fielder. And a guy that I told you about last week and the week before is Trey Boston, who formerly of the Chargers and the Panthers, who's starting to get some talk because it's been that first wave's over with. And now you're getting on those second tier players that are a little bit cheaper, but can fill specific roles. And the Chiefs need a true free safety. And he is a guy that had a lot of stats. You can check my timeline on Twitter for that. But what's your impression of Boston?
I think he'd be a good fit. The issue is if they go out and get Matthew, he's playing safety. I don't think they're going to put him at slot corner. And you're not going to have a guy like Trey Boston. But if they don't go get Matthew, then I think that Trey Boston is probably a good option that they could certainly afford to bring on right now. But I think that would still leave them looking at maybe another corner, maybe another safety. Depends on what they really think and if they're going to keep Sorensen around, which it looks like at this point they are. So that kind of changes what you would do maybe in the draft. But, you know, if they can get Trey Boston here on a decent deal, I think it's a great signing for him. And I think that it's another player that is going to be young and getting ready to hit his prime. And with Eric Berry next to him, I think that's going to be a formidable duo.
Yeah, I agree. And whatever happens, folks, if you see one of them sign or you see another free safety sign, and don't think it's going to be Eric Reed because he's a strong safety. He doesn't belong in the back and he's got serious injury concerns. So I don't expect that one. But if you see another safety sign, that's probably going to be it. I don't think they have enough to do any kind of splash in two different players here left in free agency. I think they have one left under the belt, and then you're looking at the draft.
Yep, I agree with that. Well, I agree with that to a certain extent, although it does sound like as of probably by the time you're listening to this, the Chiefs will have Chad Henne into the building on Friday for a visit. So it's possible that he will be signing as a backup QB, which to me would be okay. I'm not going to be excited about it, but, you know, it should be a cheap signing, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if Mahomes goes down and has any elongated injury, this offense is done anyway. It's being built to throw deep, and you're not going to find another cannon out there.
Nope, you're not going to. And they could still bring back Tyler Bray, but again, he's going to be probably the number three at best, I would think, because I think they want a veteran behind Mahomes. And not necessarily just to have a veteran behind him, but to also have that veteran presence in the locker room and still help bring him along.
Oh, I agree. I think they're mostly looking for someone to be in the quarterback room, looking in film and studying opponents with him. I think that's still something that he needs some support with. Clearly, he learned a ton from Alex Smith, but I think that's an ongoing process for a guy at the most important position on a team that's still that young.
Absolutely.
Well, there's going to be more developments, and we're going to talk further in depth about some of these positional changes as we know more. So we'll cut it off there for tonight. It's kind of late. Thank you all for bearing with us, and hope you have a good commute to work tomorrow. Bear with us. If anything major hits over the weekend, we'll drop you one. But if not, be prepared for Monday, and we'll start talking about some of these deeper issues. Anything I missed, Chris?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right. Thank you all. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.